Good morning. It's 9:02. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. That was the Alan Kelly gang with The Moth and The Exorcist. And as I mentioned, they were just in town this past Wednesday at the back room of the Burren. If you like music of any kind, by all means, check out what the schedule is. And if you just want a good old Irish session, why, that's always in the front room there. Before that was the Paul McKenna Band, who are actually Scottish, from their new album, Paths That Wind, One More Time. And we started off with the Jeremiahs with Forgotten Sons, another great band, the Jeremiah Brothers from Ireland. We'd like to remind you at this point, if you are a Celtic artist who would like to get heard, please send your CDs and promotional announcements to Celtic Dawn, care of WMFO, Post Office Box 53065, Medford, Massachusetts, 02153. And if you've got somebody who you think is really terrific and needs some publicity, by all means, alert me on the Facebook page and we will do our best to accommodate them. This is the point in the show where we segue over to Between the Worlds, the best of Earth Religions Radio. And we're going to start off with our calendrical information. Yes, we are through training and we're back to the regularly scheduled program. Our information is from the Perpetual Almanac of Folklore by Charles Keightley. March the 14th, blue, purple, periwinkle, and yellow lesser celandine. Now flowering. It is a tradition with many that a wreath made of periwinkle and bound about the legs defendeth them from cramp. And Mr. Culpepper writeth that periwinkle leaves eaten by man and wife together cause love, which is a rare quality indeed, if it be true. And that's from William Coles's Adam in Eden from 1657. Tuesday, March the 15th, the Roman Ides of March. Beware weasels and other ill omens. And we have to tell you that the Ides changes. It's not always on March the 15th. In other months, it can be on the 13th. But we get this from Shakespeare's setting of Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March. So what that's telling you, as a meme is going around on Facebook, is that you should stab people in groups and not singly. Mm-hmm. Okay, March the 16th, March kittens, the best kind of cat, now being born. Cats were anciently revered as emblems of the moon, and among the Egyptians had stately temples erected in their honor. It is said that in whatever house a cat died, all the family shaved their eyebrows. And that's from Brand's Observations of Popular Antiquities of 1813. March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And this is, of course, being a feast day, is actually celebrated purportedly on one of the days that St. Patrick died. If you actually look deeply into this, there are a couple of lives of Patrick, all written, of course, after the fact. but this became the popular one, which said that St. Patrick died on this day in 461. Other people have knocked it back to as far as 410. Is said to have used his symbol, the three-leaved shamrock, to illustrate the doctrine of the Trinity. And that's it. It's not really an Irish symbol. It was a teaching tool. He was also said to have banished all snakes from Ireland, but the fact is that Ireland hasn't had snakes for years, unlike England, which does have adders. It's a long way to swim. So you'd have to go back to when Ireland was still attached to another piece of land to have had snakes. And the identity of St. Patrick's shamrock, the Irish shamrock or little clover, is much disputed. Some say it was really wood sorrel, but the plant worn by Irishmen everywhere today is the lesser yellow trefoil. Shamrock, or any kind of clover with four or five leaves, is an especially lucky charm, but only if it is found by chance rather than searched for. And someone actually did, a small boy found a four-leafed clover in our yard in Arlington this past June. In the highlands and islands of Scotland, where Patrick is as much honored as in Ireland, his feast is hailed as the first day of spring. In the Hebrides, a south wind is expected this morning, bringing the saint to visit his parishioners, and a north wind in the evening to bear him back to Ireland. On the high day of Patrick, every fold will have a cow-calf and every pool a salmon. And that's from the Carmina Gadelica. And as we might want to mention, even though Thursday is St. Patrick's Day, the Boston St. Patrick's March and Breakfast will take place on March 20th, a Sunday this year. And they're still battling about the actual parade route down in Southie and Dorchester for the parade, because the number of bands and pipers and other folk appearing in the band would make it extremely difficult to try and line up and actually have a route of march with the foreshortened route that that the police were hoping for, along with our redoubtable mayor, who probably didn't exactly feel like walking 5 miles and would much rather do a mile and a quarter. Anyway, March the 18th, March chickens now hatching. Make cock ale with a lucky March cockerel. Keep a black cock hatched in March as a protection against evil spirits. His crowing terrifies them. And we'll give you the recipe for cock ale. Just email me on Facebook. March the 19th is St. Joseph's Day. Children born today will be lucky, but take care how they are baptized. Children born today are most fortunate, and according to a Highland belief, they cannot be shot in battle. And as to how they are baptized, this is from an old statistical account on South Ronaldsay in Orkney in 1795. Within these last 7 years, the minister has been twice interrupted in administering baptism to a female child before the male child, who was baptized immediately after. When the service was over, he was gravely told he had done very wrong, for as the female child was first baptized, she would, on her coming to the years of discretion, most certainly have a strong beard, and the boy would have none. Oh, dear. Also, since this is St. Joseph's Day, a clear St. Joseph's Day presages a fine and fertile year. March the 20th, Carling's Sunday falls about now when Easter comes in early April, but that was actually this past Sunday, and of course March the 20th is going to be Palm Sunday, and the 27th will be Easter. And this is as good a time as any to announce that we will be doing our spring equinox show here on Between the Worlds next week, because indeed spring is coming, if not already here, and I sense an uptick in fairy activity, but that's just me. Back to music. We're going to hear once more from the Alan Kelly Band, and then from a local artist, Marlena Thal, and then something from a wide range of music. I haven't yet decided what's going to be the third song there.
The last bell rings, will I be on my own? Sleeping beneath the stars, nowhere to call home. A million lights above me, when all I want is one. Will I be on my own? Thank you. Thank you.
asking to stay long enough for the clouds to fly me away. Oh, it's my time coming, I'm not afraid, afraid to die. My fading voice sings of love. But she cries to the clicking of time. Drink a bit of wine, we both might go tomorrow. Oh, my love, and the rain is falling, and I believe my time has come. It reminds me of the pain I might leave. Oh.
This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if it gets a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is more important than your life? Someone who takes their eyes off the road while speeding along in a 3-ton hunk of steel. Freaky, right? Well, why not just ask them to stop? Or better yet, volunteer to text for them. It might be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
And that was Tom Waits singing a song of a blind Willie Johnson, The Soul of a Man. Great compilation album with some fine artists, including the Cowboy Junkies, the Blind Boys of Alabama, Lucinda Williams. Tom Waits actually covers two songs of a blind Willie Johnson, and we're going to be hearing more from this album in the coming weeks. Before that was Jeff Buckley doing Grace from You and I, which Jeff has been gone for a number of years, and the person who compiled this album, which is just out on Columbia, acknowledges that his presentation would probably not be what the artist would have wanted, but that's what came out from various recordings. Prior to that was Marlena Thal doing Corey from her album, and of course, this is the time of year when Corey arises, and yes, spring is definitely on its way here in New England. Lawns are greening up. Crocuses have already gone by, and daffodils are coming up. It will indeed be an early spring. No snow in the forecast right here in the Boston area. Possibility of sleet tonight in the Metro West area and beyond in the valleys, because our temperatures are still bouncing around. Nevertheless, we will take it, especially after last year with Snowmageddon. We're going to hear from Terenzo Cannon, great Chicago blues player, and then something from a very early collection of music, Now Make Me Mirth, the Purcell Consort of Voices. And then we're going to hear from Sharon Knight's new album, Portals. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Johannes, pray for us. dust long forgotten, a parchment of yearnings gone dry. Sagas live on throughout time. How long must we wait for a champion of fate to come slay the dragons of life? Please sing for the savior, return of the king. Draw the sword from the stone and cast off the ring. A dashing young hero in flashing red.
Good morning, it's 9:48. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. That was Sharon Knight with Song for a Savior from Portals. Then we journeyed back in time to the Purcell Consort of Voices with Pray for Us, Thou Prince of Pace, or Peace. A lyric composed around 1450 and anonymous, like much of medieval music that has come down to us. Prior to that was Taranzo Cannon with The Pain Around Me from his album The Chicago Way, just out on Alligator Records. And yes, that trio of songs does have something in common, and that is that we should not be surprised that Chicago was a scene of unrest, but to blame it on Bernie Sanders supporters seems a bit far-fetched. I'm not sure that Donald Trump is a pathological liar, but I really am sure that he speaks without his brain being engaged and has spent lots of time trying to backtrack from various positions. He has apparently claimed that he was misquoted when speaking about McCain's war record, and says that he couldn't answer the question about David Duke properly because his earpiece was malfunctioning. Whatever. I do believe that our senator from Massachusetts called it, which is that he espouses a very extremist viewpoint, and to not take responsibility for that is probably not what we would really like to see in a president, because it's... If you spend your time whipping up anger amongst people for about the past 3 or 4 months and then suddenly become conciliatory but still making these same pronouncements as even the people who are still in the race for Republican candidates say, "You know, Donald, you make it awfully hard for us to think about supporting you." Anyway, that's my last pronouncement on that. And we are going to be going out of here with a couple of tunes from Esperanza Spalding's new album, which is Emily's De-Evolution. It will actually be released on... Actually, it has been released. Sorry about that. But she is playing some local shows, and we wanted to let you know that upcoming tour dates will be the beginning of April. On the 9th, she'll be in Northampton, Mass. At the Calvin Theater. On the 10th, she'll be in Greenvale, New York at the Till Center for the Performing Arts. On the 12th, she'll be in Boston at the Schubert Theater. And on the 14th, she'll actually be the headliner in New York at the Apollo Theater. So we're going to be going out of here with two tunes from Esperanza Spalding's new album. Judas, you know the lonesome road. Don't you?
on the other side, they should do.